You're listening to the Getting Smart Podcast. I'm Shawnee Carruthers, and today I'm joined by Erica Giampietro, Executive Director at the Massachusetts Alliance for Early College. Erica recently led a design team as a part of the Accelerate Ed initiative, supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Accelerate Ed is built on the idea that high schools can provide early access to quality higher education in ways that incorporate work-connected learning and have long-term benefits for students. This initiative helps state-based groups plan and build accelerated pathways between K-12 education, post-secondary education, and careers. We're also joined by Destiny Igbuta, a student at Salem State University. Erica and Destiny, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, of course. I'm really looking forward to our conversation about all things Accelerate Ed. Erica, we'll start with you. What is early college and what is the early college promise in Massachusetts?
I'll start conceptual and then get more technical. At the highest level, early college is a way of blurring the line between secondary and post-secondary systems in order to maximize student success in college. And this is explicitly, but not exclusively, for students who are currently underrepresented on college campuses, students from low-income homes and first-generation college goers. It's called early college, but what it's really about is the access to opportunity that a college degree can so often mean. So this is about access to jobs that provide family-sustaining wages. This is about access to the dignity and civic engagement enabled by these opportunities, and about access to privileges and social capital, making that accessible in our communities of color and communities with lower income. So more technically, here's what early college is. It's where a college and a high school create a deep partnership, where high school students take strategically sequenced, transferable, true college classes during their regular high school day. It doesn't cost themselves or their family anything. Those college classes include both liberal arts and core coursework, while also having strong career orientations, and they count for both high school and college credit at the same time. And the students receive academic and guidance support to ensure that they thrive. So they graduate from high school with transferable college credits, which reduces the time to and cost of degree completion ultimately. And really importantly, they graduate with the confidence, habits, and skills needed to be successful in college and career. They see themselves, they believe in themselves as college students and as members really of a community with opportunity. The concept of early college is not unique to Massachusetts, but you also asked about the early college promise. This is something that we have that's relatively unique, though some states like Michigan, North Carolina, California, Texas are exploring similar models. This is where we take the early college model one step further. This is an extension of that opportunity in grade 13, where students can opt to stay on for an extra year with their high school to earn an associate's degree or to finish with 2 years of credits towards a bachelor's degree. They also get meaningful work-based learning experiences, and this is all happening in that environment of significant wraparound supports. So it's an accelerated, seamless, supported track to that degree.
And I guess my overall question is it working? One might say, especially I love the part where you said about a sense of belonging. That in itself feels like a huge win. But then when you layer all the other components of the benefits the students are receiving as being a part of the early college program, but just from your perspective, is this working?
Yeah, and it's such a good point. It is working. And you're right. The financial barriers to college success are not the only barriers. That feeling of belonging, that experience in college really matters. The results of early college are outstanding. In fact, early college is one of the most validated education strategies that we have available, and it earns the strongest possible ratings among post-secondary success on the U.S. Department of Education's What Works Clearinghouse website. In Massachusetts, our early college graduates are 14 percentage points more likely to go on to college, compared to well-matched controls with identical race, gender, socioeconomic, test score, and attendance patterns. Then they are again 14 percentage points more likely to persist into a second year of college. And this is, of course, a strong predictor of eventual graduation, but our programs are young. And really importantly, these patterns hold up and they're even a little stronger among students who are Black or Hispanic or low income, and regardless of their state test score levels. So in other words, the students who are historically least well served experience as much or more of a boost in college success as students who have been the most well served. Separately, the Early College Promise program, that 13th year that I mentioned, which is even newer in Massachusetts, it's on track to exceed those outcomes. We're seeing students who wouldn't have otherwise gone to college who are completing the degree on a vastly accelerated timeline, which is so great to see. And certainly Destiny is a case of that here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, and so thankful to have Destiny with us. Destiny, I would love for you to just tell us about yourself. Our listeners in general just really love hearing from students. And Erica has said a lot of great things about how this is helping. But I really think that we would all appreciate hearing about any part of your background that you would love to share.
My name is Destiny Ebuta. I'm from Lynn, Massachusetts. I go to Salem State University as a Promise Year student. I moved here 5 years ago from Nigeria with my mom and 3 siblings. My mom honestly has been a pillar in my life. She works so hard for my siblings and I. All I do is just to make her proud and just let her know all her hard work isn't in vain. So I absolutely love her. Moving here was honestly a struggle for my siblings and I. I was trying to do school, taking care of my siblings at the same time, also doing part-time jobs. At the same time, my mom was honestly working very hard to save for a house, which we finally got last month. So that was exciting.
Well, one, congratulations on the house, too. I love a good shout out to a mom. So thank you so much for sharing. But we've been talking a lot already about early college, and I'm curious, have you always wanted to go to college? Can you give us a little bit more context around like what your journey has been and what you saw for yourself?
First, moving here, I didn't necessarily think I wanted to go to college because of how much it costs. I had 3 other siblings that I knew would also like to go to college. So my initial plan was maybe get out of high school, work, help my mom save up for those 3 other siblings, because college is really expensive. So it wasn't necessarily at the top of my to-do list. So I was honestly so happy when I heard about the early college program. Was a bit skeptical at first. It couldn't be free. My mom was also skeptical. She always says, nothing is ever free. There's always a cost at some point. And I'm so happy that this was, because it was that stepping stool. It was that thing that just led me to the person I am today, that set me up for this big things I'm doing and just helped me to be the person I am today. And I'm so grateful and so happy for it.
When you hear Destiny share about her journey and what participating in the early college program has done for her, how does that really cement how you feel about the early college program and how that matters, not just for Destiny, but for all students?
Yeah, Destiny is such a good example. I mean, this is why we're doing this work. Nothing makes me happier than getting to talk with students like Destiny, which I luckily get a fair amount of chances to do. But, you know, early college matters for all the reasons we've just been discussing. I'll name 3 specific reasons. 1, equity. 2, workforce. And 3, what I call the wedge. So first on equity, you know, we know that college enrollment was down before the pandemic, and it only got worse through the pandemic, especially for our students of color and students from low-income communities. We know that entry-level jobs that don't require a college degree but, you know, pay $17 or $18 an hour might seem like an attractive alternative to college, but that they often lack upward mobility and are most vulnerable in economic down cycles. So what we know is, you know, we want the best opportunities for our students. The wage premium of a college degree has never been higher than it is right now, especially in a state like Massachusetts. So college matters. It's not the only path to a life of opportunity, but it's one of the surest. And college degrees are not distributed equitably. In Massachusetts, if you are a white student or a student from a non-low-income home, your odds of having a college degree within 6 years of high school graduation are 50%. If you're Black, Latino, or from a low-income home, your odds are 20%. So college degrees matter. They're not distributed equitably. The good news is we have a model that works, and it's early college. It is succeeding in delivering college degrees, and especially for students who are underrepresented on college. So to me, that's, you know, number one. This matters because of equity. Number two is workforce. In Massachusetts, our state's future economic health, our projections are we're going to lose 200,000 college-educated workers by 2030. We have new industries with unmet talent needs. Early college is a really promising talent pipeline, and our programs are increasingly industry-aligned. I think in this next chapter of early college in Massachusetts, this is really a direction we need to go in and even go more deeply in. And then the third thing I would say is early college is a wedge. It's a wedge in the door of education change. It makes the whole system better, not just those students who are participating in the program. So what you see with early college is high schools and colleges collaborating in deep ways. They're working together to align curriculum and ensure students are fully prepared by their high school for their college content and for their rigor. They're working together to streamline and simplify college admissions processes. They're partnering and they're learning from each other on how to best support students. These are changes that are good for the entire system. And so often we see that it's just improving the overall system in general in ways that are really hard to do.
Yeah. And so I'm curious, as you talk about the untapped markets, and so I think that insinuates growth that will just naturally continue to happen for the early college program. So what role does your organization, the Massachusetts Alliance for Early College, play in this ecosystem of growth?
We are an independent 501c3 organization. We exist to see early college thrive in Massachusetts and to meet its potential for the Commonwealth's students through robust, high-impact programs. I describe our work usually in two ways. The first is we are independent collaborative. And what I mean by this is we work collaboratively with our public agencies, like the departments of K-12 or higher education. We work collaboratively because we can be most effective when we work together. We also work independently because we can do things as an independent organization that others in the public space can't. We can advocate and lobby. We can push for bold goals. We can form a wide tent and bring more and more organizations and partners and stakeholders into the work. The second way I describe our work is that we are both policy and practice. So what I mean by that is, as an organization, we do both things. On the policy side, we are out there advocating on big P policy bills and budget, little P policy, you know, regulations and programming. So we're doing that advocacy, and we're also coalition building, again, bringing more and more stakeholders into the work and bringing their voices into the work, including student voice, by the way. But we also do practice. So for us, what this means is, you know, working with those 58 high schools and 27 colleges on the ground to build their capacity, to share best practices across the system, to innovate, et cetera. And we think that by doing both policy and practice, it makes us better at each of them. They're sort of reinforcing by having that experience on the ground with programs and that practice experience, it makes us better policy advocates.
Yeah, Destiny, I'm sure you've been able to see as you've engaged in an early college program, how many different pieces of education have to kind of move in conjunction with each other in order to ensure that students have equitable access. And I think you can also see just through your experience that in the middle of it is the learner and how important it is to focus on continuing to be student-centered. And so I really want to know, like, if you have a story about your experience in the early college or the early college promise program that we can use to continually to think about the most important piece of all of this, which is the student.
A story I can think of off the top of my head is the first class I had as an early college student, which was in my Foundations of Writing class. And I had this professor who was really patient and helped with all the things that I struggled with. It wasn't just me, it was the whole class. She would always pay extra attention to details, just make sure everyone had the work done. It wasn't just, I know, like, during my junior year, everyone was like, oh, professors don't care. Professors are not gonna want you to, they're not gonna pay attention to anything you say. They're not gonna give you second chances. But she paid attention, she cared. And I felt like that really contradicted that statement. And She helped me, especially with things I struggled with, like punctuations, like things I came into that class struggling with, like grammatical errors, and helped me improve in my writing in general. And I think that's the building block and opportunities most students don't get in high school, just taking those regular classes. And over the course of the years, those are things I got to experience. I got to get that multi-level help from professors, and also get that confidence builds and just know how I'm supposed to act in a college level classroom, and also get that college level help while I'm doing college level work. And I feel like that was a very important moment.
And I appreciate you servicing the soft skills that you gained as being part of this program. Were there any additional supports that you received outside of those?
Let me talk about my promise year. Academically, we get supports applying to FAFSAs, applying to colleges, fixing our resumes, essays. We have advisors to talk to. There's easy access to tutors, not only when we need them, they're just there in general. We also have social workers for both academic and emotional needs. Just anytime we just need someone to talk to, there's always someone there who could probably help us or lead us in the right direction to get help.
Yeah, and I think sometimes those things are assumed that students just automatically know how to do those things. And so I'm wondering, if those supports weren't in place for you, do you feel like you would be as successful as you are today?
No. And yes, a lot of students did not have those supports and still don't. I know, like, I still had to redo this FAFSA again this year. And if I didn't have that class a month ago on how to do the FAFSA, the things I needed, I probably would still be able to struggle and just run to YouTube for help or TikTok. But these aren't things the students know how to do, or there's help there for them. And I'm really, like, grateful for the Promise Year for having those help installed for me.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And listen, Erica, I know you don't know this about me, but I love a good TikTok. But I also know that that is not the place that we always want students to go for support. And we want to ensure that we're preparing, like, K-12 leaders and industry leaders for this type of work. So what should those leaders know before diving into this early college work?
I think what those leaders should know is that this is hard, but it's feasible. And like so many things, you know, the things that are the hardest are often the very things we should be most focused on doing. You know, early college, we have now so many examples of schools that have done the hard work of making this work. It takes aligning systems across K-12 and higher ed, which are often large bureaucracies with, you know, entrenched systems in place. But change is possible, and really aligning these systems for the sake of student success. It's been done before. You can do it. The results will be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, having partners in the work is definitely key. And speaking of partners, we mentioned Accelerate Ed at the beginning. Can you just give us a little bit of information around what that is and what Accelerate is and who did you partner with?
This is an initiative supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and it's all about stronger, smoother, accelerated pathways between K-12 education, post-secondary education, and careers. And it involves the bringing together of teams or small communities comprised of cross-sector partnerships. So K-12, higher ed, workforce, community-based organizations who come together to solve these challenges and put forward good innovative models. Our community came together over a 9-month design sprint and left that period with this early college promise model underway. And we're so proud of it. We're so excited about it. We're so optimistic about what's possible. And it wouldn't have happened without that community with us.
Yeah, and thank you. And speaking about what's possible, Destiny, you alluded to the confidence that you were able to build as part of this program and as part of that support that Erica's team has been able to provide around just like confidence and really thinking about what's next and what you're able to do. So how have you specifically grown in that area around confidence? And like, what are some new skills and areas that you felt like were truly developed as part of being part of this program?
Transitioning into college isn't easy for most people, but I like to think it was easy for me because I got a head start. They have helped me build confidence by preparing me to be a better version of myself and knowing what's expected of me, especially in a college classroom and in college, and also helping me build my own personal confidence, just surrounding knowing what I have to do and preparing myself for a better future.
Destiny, why is that important? You know, when we're in high school or college, that's not typically the part we focus on, right? We focus on the components of the math and English and things of that nature, but we don't dig a lot into like confidence and belonging. Why is that important?
Because those are really the keys you need outside of a classroom. Outside of a classroom, when you're socializing, you're on a college campus, you're not going to need your math class to help you survive through that. You're not going to need your English class to help you. You just need that confidence, that belief you have in yourself that you could survive this, that you could believe in yourself, that you have a goal in your life that you need to get through. Just setting that goal and confidence is just what's mostly important for me, because I have a map and I have a map set up where I need to, with what I need to do and what I need to get through with my life. And I just need that confidence to be able to do all that.
And Erica, you mentioned around policy and practice, and when you're going and you're talking to state legislators and you're centering stories like Destiny's talking about the confidence, which helps to really think about really what is learning for, how are you working alongside those state legislators to really expand what this definition is of college and early college and dual enrollment funding so that students can talk about the confidence that they're able to gain in order to then transition into this next phase of life?
We are so lucky in Massachusetts. Our legislature has been hugely supportive of this work. In fact, our legislature is leading on this, and it's both in the House and the Senate, which is just truly a blessing for the work, and it's a statement about the priorities of our state leaders. It means so much. They have been supportive on funding. They've been supportive. We're working on a college and high school bill right now. They've just also made this a priority with their own, you know, time and activity. And that has really breathed life into this initiative. 5 years ago, early college was mostly just an idea in early college. It was happening sort of in some programs in a very grassroots way. But since that time, we have seen a vast growth of this program, a really promising launch. So Early College basically grew from very, very little at that time to now 58 high schools, 27 colleges. Those colleges are both two-year and four-year, public and private. And the initiative is serving about 8,000 students, two-thirds of whom are Black and Latino, and more than half of whom are from low-income homes. So they have been instrumental. I will say, too, you know, as we look forward, this program is going to keep growing. In this last cycle, 24 new programs applied to the state. That was up from 13 programs the year prior. Dozens and dozens of programs are applying for different growth grants that the state has been offering. Students and families are clamoring for this because students like Destiny are out there sharing their stories. And frankly, that's the best kind of recruiting you can do. Other students just want to get involved as a result. So we really see this as continuing to grow. Unlike some more, you know, controversial education initiatives, Early College really is very well liked. It's well liked across the aisle, at the highest levels of state leadership, by students and families, like I said. So we're really, really hopeful about this next chapter in Massachusetts.
And Erica, how does that unity make this work sustainable?
I think it's exactly what makes it sustainable. This is not an initiative that's being pushed on anyone. I always talk about, you know, the push versus the pull. This is a pull. This is, you know, our communities, our students are saying, we want this. And at the same time, it enjoys this support at all levels of the system. I think that's the only way, first of all, you seed and then grow an initiative of this kind of, you know, magnitude. And it's the only way you sustain it.
Thank you. Destiny, when you think about your experience, you think about your future, what do you see?
When I think about my future, I see myself in a job I feel confident in as a nurse anesthetist and possibly a future pursuing medical school and a family and doing something where I can get back to the education system. A big part of being able to do that is having a college degree, which I am so happy I got the opportunity to get started with the Early College program.
And Erica, what is your hope for the future of the Early College program?
My hope is a thriving, robust, high impact initiative that really make significant progress on closing our college equity gap. Our goal is 45,000 students doing early college, or about 11,000 students per grade level in high school. So that's about 15% of high school students in Massachusetts. And our partners at Mass Inc. estimate that that's what it would take to close that college success equity gap by a quarter. So my hope for the future of early college is, you know, this just becomes a key piece of the fabric of how we offer high school and post-secondary education in Massachusetts, and that students are able to really take advantage of this opportunity and thrive themselves.
Well, thank you both. Thank you, Erica, for sharing the great work that's happening in Massachusetts around keeping students centered. And thank you, Destiny, for really sharing your stories around your journey of the Early College program and what you see for your future. I appreciate you both.
Thanks for tuning into the Getting Smart podcast today. We want this podcast to be actionable, insightful, and a great way to learn about what's next in learning. In order to stay on the cutting edge, we need people in the field to tell us what they're hearing, what they're wanting, and what they're needing to learn more about. Got a topic or a guest in mind? Send your recommendations to me, Mason@gettingsmart.com. And if you like what you're hearing, don't forget to leave a review in Apple Podcasts or subscribe wherever you listen. Feel free to share the podcast on social media using the hashtag GSPodcasts. Thanks so much.